like you mean it, mean it like you say it. This is the Word of God. And I have what it says I have. And I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm a winner and not a whiner. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. Said I'm a doer and not just a hearer. In Jesus' name. Again, the Bible says we're all a part of the body of Christ. So turn to somebody funny behind you next to you and say, thank God that you brought the rest of my body this morning. Thank you, sir. And church, before I get into the ministry this morning, I forgot to tell Gary to announce. Brother Jamie asked me that the ladies would get together and cook some fudge brownies, some pies, some cakes, or whatever for the auction for Cody on the 23rd. So if you have any questions, get with Pastor Joy, and she can line you up. But you'd be shocked how much money cakes and pies and stuff like that bring at these auctions. It's unreal. It's just crazy. So if you will, if you'd like to help and donate to that, like I say, if you have any questions about it, just see her. The auction is on the 23rd, okay? And Sister Kat is going to share her testimony on the 24th. So you need to be here. If you've never heard it, it will curl your hair. God has brought her from a long, long way, church. Amen. All right. Tell somebody God loves you and so do I. Turn me this morning to Acts chapter 13, church. Acts 13. How many know that the Bible is for instruction, correction, and reproof? Amen. Amen. God loves us enough that He's not always going to give us a pat on the back. Sometimes He's going to give us a pat on the rear end. Amen. Amen. All right. When I want to talk to you about this morning, some of you say, oh, I don't need to hear that. I don't have no problem with that. Maybe you do. But what we're going to talk about is jealousy. Okay? Acts 13, let's begin at verse 38. But I'm going to give you some medicine this morning. Remember, these are just humor stories, so please don't be offended. The man approached a very beautiful woman in a large supermarket and asked, you know, I lost my wife here in the supermarket. Can you talk to me for a couple of minutes? And she said, why? Because every time I talk to a beautiful woman, my wife appears out of nowhere. Some of y'all been there and done that, huh? My wife's jealousy is getting ridiculous. The other day she looked at my calendar and wanted to know who May was. Can you spell jealousy with just two letters? Envy. All right. A woman wanted to reach her husband on his mobile phone, but discovered that she had no bars. So she instructed her son to use his own phone to pass across an urgent message to his daddy. After Junior had called, he got back to Mommy to inform her that there was a lady that picked up Daddy's phone the three times that he tried reaching Dad on his mobile. She waited impatiently for her husband to return from work, and upon seeing him in the driveway, she rushed out and gave him a big slap. And then she slapped him again just for good measure. People from the neighborhood rushed around to find out what all the ruckus was, and the woman asked her son, tell everybody what the lady said to him when you called. Junior said, the subscriber you have dialed is not available at present. Please try again later. Sometimes we jump to conclusions, don't we? last one. Sister Janelle sent me this one. The light turned yellow and just in front of him. He did the right thing. He stopped at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman behind him was furious, honked her horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked up to the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects. He said, "I'm very sorry for the mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, giving the guy in front of you the finger and cursing at him. I noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker, the 'Choose Life' license plate holder, the 'Follow Me to Sunday School' bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. So naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car." No, you never know who's watching. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 13. I'm going to read this to you from the Living Translation. I'm going to back up to verse 38. It says, "Brothers, listen." Tell somebody, listen.
Listen.
"In this man Jesus there is forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who trusts in him is free from all guilt and declared righteous, something the Jewish law could never do. Oh, be careful, don't let the prophet's words apply to you. For they said, 'Look and perish, you despisers of the truth. For I am doing something in your day, something that you won't believe when you hear it announced.' As the people left the synagogue that day, they asked Paul to return and speak to them again the next week. And many Jews and godly Gentiles who worshipped at the synagogue followed Paul and Barnabas down the street as the two men urged them to accept the mercies God was offering. The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of God." Wouldn't that be awesome? "But when the Jewish leaders saw the crowds, they were jealous and cursed and argued against whatever Paul said. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, 'It was necessary that this good news from God should be given first to you Jews, but since you've rejected it and shown yourselves unworthy of eternal life, well, we offer it to the Gentiles. For this is as the Lord commanded when he said, I have made you a light to the Gentiles to lead them from the farthest corner of the earth to my salvation.' When the Gentiles heard this, they were very glad and rejoiced in Paul's message, and as many as wanted eternal life believed. So God's message spread all throughout the region. Then the Jewish leaders stirred up both the godly women and the civic leaders of the city and incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. But they shook off the dust off their feet against the town and went on to the city of Iconium, and there converts were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." I'm going to read you something from Shakespeare. It says, "Oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is a green-eyed monster which doth mock the meat it feeds on. That cuckold lives in bliss who, certain of his fate, loves not his wronger. But oh, what minutes tell he o'er, who dotes, yet doubts, suspects, yet strongly loves." Now, does anybody understand what in the world that means? I don't either, except for the first few words. "Beware, my lord of jealousy, is a green-eyed monster." Jealousy is a monster within all of us, and when it's released, it can do some major damage in our lives and the lives of others. And probably all of us at one time or another have battled with jealousy. Now, I want to make sure we understand what real jealousy is, because sometimes we confuse jealousy with envy. Envy is when you want something, when you want what someone else has, okay? You want something, you want it more, that's envy. Jealousy is when you fear losing something. Your insecurities cause you to fear losing something that's important to you. You fear losing your job, maybe to a coworker who who sucks up to the boss all the time. You fear losing your friend at school because of a new cool kid that just enrolled in your class. You fear losing your spouse to someone who's more attractive than you. So you become jealous because of your fear of loss. And that jealousy is a green-eyed monster who will damage people's lives if it isn't stopped. How many know who John Wesley is? John Wesley was a co-founder of the Methodist Church. And he was gone a whole lot preaching. In fact, he wrote a letter back to his wife and said, "While I'm gone, you need to remain plain." Yet, he did things to make her jealous because he would flirt with younger women. He would correspond with younger women. It got so bad that she said, "I pronounced all the curses from Genesis to Revelation on him." It got so bad with him that he said, "I pray I never see your face again." Church, we're talking about one of the co-founders of the Methodist Church, a very spiritual person. But I want to show you, I don't care who you are, you can still have problems with jealousy. Okay? None of us need to have that green-eyed monster destroy our lives. In the passage that we're going through today, we'll see how the green-eyed monster jealousy was alive and well and trying to kill the early church. In Acts chapter 13, we'll see how damaging jealousy can be. And in doing so, I hope it helps us better understand jealousy and how we can actually overcome it. Well, we need to realize jealousy is just like any other sin. You can't say the devil made me do it. You can't blame it on somebody else. God said He has already translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We don't have to sin unless we choose to. Okay? Here in Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas show up in the city and have almost immediate success. Wherever they show up to preach, people come. So much so that the whole city showed up to hear them preach. This infuriated the Jews, who allowed their jealousy to take over as the green-eyed monster moved them to do some terrible things. You ever been there and done that? At the root of their jealousy was nothing more than fear. Fear that they were losing their influence, that they were going to lose their power, that they were going to lose their prestige. You see, the root of jealousy is always fear. When they saw the crowds, these Jews could never have gotten the whole city out to listen to one of their lectures on the Torah. They probably couldn't even keep the people they had awake when they attended the synagogues. But these guys whiz into town, and that's all the people can talk about. Paul and Barnabas this, and Paul and Barnabas that. And the Jewish leaders could feel their influence slipping away, and they feared obscurity. They feared irrelevance. They feared becoming yesterday's news. They feared becoming common. So instead of listening to what the disciples were saying to find out for themselves what all the fuss was about, they became jealous and allowed the green-eyed monster to come out and play. I said the root of jealousy is fear. Everything in our life, there's a root that causes it. And most of the time, we're dealing with the fruit and we're not dealing with the root. Amen? Sometimes our jealousy is because of the bad actions of others. Ladies, if you notice your husband spending more time with women other than you, then you ought to be jealous. Kids, if your parents keep saying, "Why can't you be more like your sister?" you're probably jealous. And if a new guy in your office was promoted ahead of you, even though you've been with the company for years, there's a good reason to be jealous. You fear losing what's important to you. Your husband's love, your parents' acceptance, your job, whatever it may be. In a situation when someone is doing something to cause you to feel jealous, you need to openly talk with them and let them know how you feel. Maybe you can kill that green-eyed monster with some communication and cooperation. We forget sometimes what the Word says. The Bible says if you have a problem with your brother, and it's not just talking about your brother and sister out here, it's talking about your husband, your wife, whoever it may be, you're supposed to go to them in love and confront them. And if they don't listen, you're supposed to take two or three witnesses with you. Amen? So many times, instead of confronting the person that's causing us to be jealous, we just let that green-eyed monster just get a hold of us and just destroy the relationship, destroy everything in our lives. Sometimes our jealousy is because of our own insecurities. Our self-esteem isn't what it should be. Church, if you have someone that's insecure, don't feed that insecurity. I'm going to say something, and I hope she don't get mad at me about it. Joy is a dyslexic, and she has a hard time reading and understanding things sometimes. And all of her life, she felt like people made her feel dumb. Now, when I met her, I thought, man, she talked really good. I mean, she talked like some well-educated lady and all this stuff. I mean, she's got a good front going on. But she's got a very big insecurity about feeling stupid. So I make sure that I never go there. Okay? There's times when she'll mispronounce a word or something and I'll correct her, but I correct her in love. She knows I'm not doing it to put her down. Okay? I'm not going to feed that insecurity in her. And sometimes we're just callous and we don't think nothing about it. And we just kind of doing our own thing. And we're not even aware of what we're doing to the people around about us. Amen? Sometimes we're allowing our past to rule our present. Our personal insecurities can cause us to become jealous. But no matter what the reason is for jealousy, if we don't get it under control, the actions of jealousy are hateful. Let's go back to the passage. It's in Acts 13, it says, instead of committing their fears with Paul and Barnabas, instead of trying to work things out, instead of just allowing them to do their own thing, their jealousy moved them to try to ruin the ministry of the disciples. You'd be shocked how much that still goes on in the ministry. I say this all the time, we're all part of one body. Jesus is the head. It doesn't matter what the name is on the church door out there, we're all one body. Amen. And what we don't understand, we shouldn't be jealous of some other minister or some other church or somebody else. We should be thankful if God's blessing them, thankful if God's moving in their lives. Amen. Because we're in this thing together. If I wake up this morning and this knee's not hurting, guess what? My whole body is excited about it. Because it's all one body. We're not in competition. There's plenty of lost souls out there, and we have an enemy, the devil, out there. We don't have to fight one another. Amen? In verse 45, we see how they tried to shout down Paul as he preached. When it says they blaspheme, it means they were discrediting the validity of Jesus Christ. And that's all Paul preached about. And when that didn't work, they stirred up an angry mob and had Paul and Barnabas forcibly kicked out of the city, all because they were more popular and influential than them. Jealousy will cause you to do some hateful things. I don't know how many times I've dealt with husbands and their wives got mad or jealous because they showed too much attention to someone else, and they come home and they find all their clothes out on the front lawn. Or they take them and pile them in a pile and pour lighter fluid on them and just... Y'all women know what I'm talking about. Because of jealousy, church, sometimes we will try to tear down someone's reputation. We won't be looking for that good in their life. We're going to be looking for the bad. We will try to manipulate somebody with guilt. When the green-eyed monster gets turned loose, there's no telling what's going to happen. The trouble is, most of us, we don't see ourselves as jealous. Oh, I'm not jealous. In fact, there was one man who shot a guy just for talking to his wife. That's pretty extreme, amen? James 3:16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing." If you're allowing jealousy to control you, then you're allowing evil things in your life. That's what the Word says, amen? I said jealousy will cause us to do some really hateful things. And those terrible things can have lasting consequences. You see, the results of jealousy are painful losses. Remember, the root of jealousy is the fear of losing something important to you. But if we let jealousy run loose, we often end up losing because of our jealous actions. What I'm trying to say here is so many times we try to make somebody, because we're jealous and insecure in ourselves, we try to make that person love us. And because of that jealousy, most of the time we're pushing that person away from us. You cannot make someone love you. They either love you or they don't. And if they don't love you, you don't need them in the first place. Joy, I think, is an attractive lady, and she can go to Walmart or HEB or wherever, and there's always men hitting on her all the time. And she'll come home and she'll tell me this guy said this or this guy said that. And she expects me to be jealous. And I'm not. Because I feel like this. If she loves me, it doesn't matter what another person says. And I can't go around and whip everybody that compliments or says a comment to her. And sometimes she does it just to get a rile out of me. And then I'll tell her she don't like this. I said, they can't afford you anyway. You know, the grass always looks greener on the other side. But then you got to live with them. Amen? But so many times, what we're doing is not working, church. It's actually pushing a person farther away from us instead of bringing them back to us. Amen? These Jewish scoffers missed out on eternal life because they let their jealousy rule their hearts and minds. Think about that. Paul wasn't going to waste time trying to convince them of the truth. He gave them their shot. But they refused to listen, so he then focused on people that wanted to hear the truth. Do I have anybody in here this morning that wants to hear the truth? See, some of us, we say we do until it comes to us. Then when the Holy Spirit starts dealing with our hearts and begins to show us areas that needs to change in our lives, it's like, get behind me, Satan. We don't want to hear the truth. We want to hear the truth for everybody else. But we don't want to hear it for ourselves. Now, this doesn't mean that Paul never again reached out to the Jews. On the contrary, whenever he went, wherever he went, he started with the Jewish community first, and then he moved on to the Gentiles. But in this region, these Jews were so filled with jealousy and hate that they missed out on the gospel and they remained spiritually lost. They lost their souls because of jealousy. You may not have lost your souls, but it's cost you some things in your life. Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Are y'all receiving this morning? Galatians 5, verse 19. Read this to you from the Living Translation. But when you follow your own wrong inclinations, your lives will produce these evil results: impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, spiritism, that is encouraging the activity of demons, hatred, fighting, jealousy, and anger, constant effort to get the best for yourself, complaints and criticism, the feeling that everyone else is wrong except those in your own little group, and there will be wrong doctrine, envy, murder, drunkenness, wild parties, and all that sort of thing. I want you to listen to this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Didn't say you're not. We all have moments of jealousy. But if you allow that thing to continually control you the rest of your life, day by day by day, he says you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Like I said, we're all affected by jealousy. There's times I look at other churches and I see them all packed out. There's a little jealousy rise up and think, what's the deal? I guess that'd be more resentment though. I used to be resentful more than jealous, I guess, whenever I'd see families out on Saturdays and they'd be spending time with their families and doing all the things they get to do. Joy and I, we actually took off a few weeks ago or a month ago. We took off a couple of days. And she and I went shopping. And then we went and had lunch. And we found some bargains while we were shopping. And we come home like two little kids. We were so excited and so happy. Because we got to do what regular people do. We got to have a normal day. Without worrying about the business or worrying about the church or worrying about the family. It was just she and I. And we really enjoy it. And there's times when I'd be jealous when I see other families enjoying and doing the things they get to do. And I'm cooped up on a Saturday spending time in my office preparing a message for God. But he says if we allow jealousy, don't you notice jealousy is right in the middle of all anger. It's right in the middle of adultery. It's right in the middle of all idolatry. Right in the middle of this. And I didn't say this, church. God said this. He says, if you live this life, if you allow this to control you, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, the green-eyed monster will hurt you. You and the people around you. The actions of a jealous person are hurtful and they will cause loss in your life. Have you ever been in a relationship with a jealous person? The constant nagging, suspicions, accusations, guilt trips, they begin to wear on you. You know, if you get accused of something enough, after a while you're going to say, why don't I go ahead and do it? Because you don't believe I'm not doing it anyway. You're going to accuse me of it, so I might as well go ahead and do it. Amen? Many times the jealous person angrily pushes away the person they feared losing because they let the green-eyed monster take over. The very thing we're trying to hold on to, yet we're allowing jealousy to drive it out of our lives. And not just the person that we're trying to hold on to, it affects other people. You ever been around someone that they're so jealous of their husband that you're afraid to say anything to them? Or so jealous of their wife that you're afraid to say anything to them? Winston Churchill, one of the greatest leaders we've ever seen, had a father who was incredibly jealous of his own son's success. In Churchill's book, The Last Line, he said, I would rather have been an apprentice for a bricklayer or run errands as a messenger boy or dress the windows in a local shops if I could have had the support of my father. Their relationship wasn't what it should have been, all because of his father's jealousy. You think, that's hard. Why would you be jealous of your son? You should be thrilled that they're successful. Fear of loss can cause us to become jealous. But that very jealousy can cause us to eventually lose what we feared losing in the first place. We push away what we fear losing when jealousy takes over. Jealousy can kill a relationship that you have with people that you care the most about. Jealousy will steal your joy. It'll steal your peace. You can't have peace and you can't have joy if you're wondering, where are they at? What are they doing? Who are they with? They've been gone too long. When I first got married, my mom can tell you this is the truth. Before I got saved, I didn't spend a lot of time with mom because of God in her life and the devil was in my life. Didn't work out too well, so I tried to avoid her as much as possible. So when I got saved, she was my biggest anchor, my biggest support spiritually. Anytime I got down, I knew I could go talk to mama, pray with mama, and hey, things are going to get better. So when Joy and I first got married, she was jealous of my relationship with my mom. Because she wanted that time with me instead of me spending time with her. And it took God to work on her to help her understand. I needed that time with her to keep me lifted up. So when I come back, I could help keep her lifted up. Amen? But sometimes we have a jealousy over things we shouldn't even be jealous about. It'll steal your joy. You won't have any peace of mind because you'll constantly be walking the floors thinking, how come they're not home yet? Where are they at? And the devil's telling you, they're doing just exactly what you think they're doing. Bless you. Jealousy will gnaw away at your own self-esteem. He's looking at her. I know she's more attractive than I am. She's better dressed than I am. She can do this for him that I can't do. And we begin to... What you got to realize is they married you. And so many times we put ourselves so down, down, down. There's got to be something in there that they saw, they loved, and they married you. And like I say, if your husband or your wife is stranded, talk to them. Don't go to them with this attitude, who you been seeing, what you been doing. I know you've been messing around. You know what you did to a man? You just shut him up. He's thinking about, okay, what kind of answer can I give? Amen. Because words to women mean something. Words don't mean to men what it does to women. So you got to be careful what you say and how you respond. Amen. And men and women, if you're doing things that's going to make your wife or your husband jealous, quit doing it. Oh, I didn't know it bothered them. You know it bothered them. The moment you did it and you turned around and looked at that wife and she looked at you like, you knew something was up. Amen. Jealousy and hateful actions that go with it can ruin your reputation forever. Jealous actions can cause your boss to have less respect for you. And jealousy will get in the way of your relationship with God. But church, we don't have to let this happen. We can overcome jealousy that plagues us. If someone's causing us to become jealous because of the character thing they do, talk to them. Pray that they'll be more sensitive to your feelings. And if you really care about somebody and they come to you in truth and they're sharing their heart with you and saying, look, what you're doing is really bothering me because I've got an insecurity in this area, then you need to listen to what they say because you love that person. You don't want to do anything to harm that person. The first and the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart and to love one another. If you love somebody, you're not going to want to run around them. You're not going to want to betray them. You're not going to want to hurt them. You're not going to want to do anything negative to them. Amen? But if your jealousy is more because of your own insecurities, then the remedy for jealousy is trust. Trust. That's a big word. A lot of people throw it around, oh, I trust them, I trust them. But you know what? You can say it, but your actions speak louder than your words. And you know, if you show somebody some trust sometimes, you'll be amazed what might happen. They may change. You hound them, griping at them, throwing a fit, getting mad, is not going to change them. But if you allow someone to say, you know what, I'm going to trust you till you prove me wrong, then they may try to do everything in their power to show you, yes, you can trust me. I know some of you are saying, oh, I don't need this jealousy thing. There's things you're jealous, not just jealous husbands and wives. There's things we're jealous all about. We're jealous sometimes when someone's child does better than our children do. We're jealous when God moves on somebody else's life and doesn't move in ours. Amen? We need to learn how to trust the people around us. And you know, and that's not an easy thing, because a lot of us, you've been hurt, you've been abused, you've been lied to, you've been cheated on. And it's hard to let go of all that luggage and trust again. But you'll never know what God wants you to know and have what God wants you to have unless you begin to trust. And I don't know about you, I love my wife with all my heart. But I'm not going to live with someone I can't trust. I'm not going to live in that bondage, that prison. Most of all, we got to learn to trust God. The thing about Joy when she first met me, if y'all knew me before I got saved, I had a horrible reputation. I was never faithful to my wives. That's an understatement, isn't it? Thank God we can laugh at her past. Amen. But she had to trust me. And the reason she trusted me, not because I said, look, I'm not ever going to do that to you. She trusted me because of who I served. It was because of the God that was in my life. Because of the God in my life, I did not want to do anything wrong to hurt her. Sometimes you may not trust that person, but trust God. And it may not change overnight, church, but you continue to trust Him, continue to encourage Him, continue to love Him. You'd be shocked what might happen. There's a situation in an individual's life right now that's trying to come off of prescription drugs. They were strung out on 3 different prescription drugs. They beat 2 of them. They got 1 to go. If you've ever been addicted to something and you try to come off of it, you don't need someone beating you in the head and condemning you. You need someone that's going to pick you up and encourage you and tell you, come on, you can do this. Amen? But in the situation this individual's in, their wife is so fed up because they've gone through it and gone through it and gone through it and gone through it, that she's actually doing more harm than she is good. Because if you keep hammering someone that's trying to come off an addiction like that, guess what? The devil's going to tell them, you might as well just go on back and do it anyway. Amen? And not just addiction. Anything in our life, church. The Bible says, if you see your brother overtaking a fault, ye who are spiritual. Do we have any spiritual people in here this morning? Ye who are spiritual are supposed to lift them up and encourage them and love them. If you're trying to come off of something or come out of something, you beat yourself up bad enough when you fall and when you fail. You don't need someone else come by and remind you what a failure you are. You need someone to come by and say, you know what? You may be there today, but that's not who you are. That may be what you do, but that's not who you are. That's not where God's going to leave you. And God may use you to help that person. We even need to learn to trust ourselves. You know why it's so hard to trust ourselves? Because we know ourselves better than anybody else other than God. I said the remedy for jealousy is trust. Let's go back to Acts 13. The Jews felt their influence slipping away, so they became jealous of Paul and Barnabas. But now Paul and Barnabas had the opportunity to return their favor since their influence was taken away from them when they were kicked out of the city. But listen, but instead of getting jealous and doing something stupid, they trusted that the Lord had a plan for them, and they went to another city. And they went with their joy intact. They didn't allow jealousy to settle in. They simply trusted the Lord. Yeah, they could have got mad. They could have got upset. Because they were kicked out of the city and all they were trying to do was do something good. What'd they do? They dusted the dust off their feet and went somewhere else. They didn't want to hear what they had to say, so they went to somebody that did hear what they wanted to say. And it says they were all filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we may be shocked and surprised what's blocking what God wants to do in our lives. God wants to pour all these things in our life. He wants to make us like Jesus. But sometimes there's things blocking it, things hindering what God wants to do. And we're crying out, oh God, I need you to do this. And God says, all I need you to do this. I need you to let go. I need you to turn loose. So many times we're saying, God, I need, but we got our hands closed because we're still holding on to what we have instead of releasing it and saying, okay, God, my hands are open to what you have. They didn't allow jealousy to settle in. They simply trusted the Lord. When you feel that old sinful jealousy creeping back in your lives, you need to trust the Lord and defeat that green-eyed monster. Amen. And the journey to trust starts with admitting and confessing the sin of jealousy. Anytime you want to change your life, it's going to begin with repentance. And repentance means you change and go another way. James 3:14 says, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't be arrogant and so lie against the truth. In other words, stop justifying your jealousy. Call it what it is and confess it to God. Well, I don't want to be this way, but he just keeps making me this way. Or I don't want to be this way, but she keeps making me this way. They can't make anything if you don't allow it to happen. I was married to a woman one time. She was extremely spoiled, extremely violent. I went into the bathroom to use the bathroom one day and locked the door. She kicked a hole in the door and wanted to know what I was doing in there. Anytime I got out of her sight, and of course now I gave her a good reason for it. Anytime I got out of her sight, she was wondering what I was doing, where I was going, who I was messing around with. I'm going to throw this out here, and I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to, and just help some people. My ex-wife, she's dead now. She's not around no more. She lived in Oklahoma. And she went to Oklahoma to prepare our wedding plans, get all the arrangements together. Well, I was living in an apartment in Temple, me and a friend of mine. And I thought she was out of town. Next thing I know, I hear her on my bedroom door. It was her. And I was in bed with another woman. So I went to the door, opened the door, there she was. I said, give me a minute, you need to ride around the block. And my friend, I went looking for him, she left and came back later, went looking for him. He had grabbed his boots and his hat and his clothes, he was hiding in a closet. Now, I was giving her plenty of reason to be jealous, okay? I can't blame her for being that way whenever I caused her to be that way. Sometimes we want to blame the husband or blame the wife, church, and we're the ones that's bringing it on. Getting tough in here, isn't it? Confession is good for the soul. Amen. Confess it to God. Church, we also need to be content with who we are, realizing that God made us just like we are and that He loves us with His entire being. Psalms 139, 13, 18 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written." God created you just the way you are. Don't be jealous because of what some way somebody else looks. There's nobody else just like you. He said, "The days were ordained for me when as there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." God created you just like you are. He loves you so much. Let your contentment dissolve the insecurity that moves you to jealousy. There may be people more attractive than you are. Maybe better built than you are. May have more hair than you do. But God created you just the way you are. And He loves you just the way you are. And being jealous of somebody else is not going to change who you are. It's just going to make you worse on the inside. And church, you can be, I've been through this, you can have someone that's gorgeous and beautiful on the outside and they can be rotten and nasty on the inside. Amen? I'm trying to wrap this up. Most of all, whatever circumstances you find yourself in, place your trust in the one who understands and the one who can help. Amen? Your jealousy is not going to change that person, but your trust in God will. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8 says, "My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us all." Take it to God. Talk to God. When that green-eyed monster finds its way in your life, trust the Lord for its defeat. Trust the one who made you, the one who loves you, the one who understands you, and who will help you. He's my rock and my salvation. He's my stronghold. I will not be shaken. Amen. If you got a pen and a paper, take it out. I'm going to give you some scriptures now to help you to overcome jealousy. And then we'll close on this. Jealousy is a powerful force. And church, we need God's word to help us to overcome it. And hopefully these Bible verses will lead you back to the path of patience, faith, and self-control. 1 Corinthians 3:3. "You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans?" 1 Corinthians 3:3. He said, "Aren't you acting just like the rest of the world? Because you've got jealousy and quarreling among you?" 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation is overtaken except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way so that you can endure it." Most people hate that scripture. So, I just don't know how much more I can bear. I've been there and done that, told God, "God, you said you wouldn't, but I don't know how much more I can handle here." But He says He will make a way out. You got to look for that way. 1 Corinthians 13:4. "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud." 1 Corinthians 13:4. Ecclesiastes 4:4. And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Ephesians 4:4. James 4:11. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment upon it. Proverbs 14:30. Listen to this one. Proverbs 14:30. A heart of peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Some people are sick. Some people have chronic illnesses, and they can't understand why. You know why? Because there's something wrong in your heart, and it's poisoning your body. Proverbs 27:4. Anger is cruel, fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Psalms 143, verses 8 and 9. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Psalms 143, verse 8 and 9. I know I'm going a little fast, but I'm trying to wrap it up. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If you feel jealous of someone, you feel like somebody's not doing you right, then don't play right into the devil's hand and come down to the devil's level. Handle it the way God would handle it, and God will deal with that person. James 4, verse 2 and 3. You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Galatians 5:22, we read it a while ago. Oh, I'm sorry, we read 5:19 about the works of the flesh. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're being led by the Spirit, then you should have self-control. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. When you're walking in sin, you're walking in darkness. When you're walking in the truth, you're walking in light. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Psalm 37, verse 1 through 3. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Enjoy safe pasture. Sometimes we're jealous of what other people have, what other people are doing. James 3, last one. James 3, verses 14 and 16. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. Church jealousy is a green-eyed monster. It'll destroy you. I'm sorry, I got one more scripture. Two more. Galatians 5, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed by each other. Galatians 5, verse 14 and 15. Proverbs 6:34. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. I told you the man shot someone just for talking to his wife. Jealousy can get a control of you just like anything else, church. Unforgiveness, an addiction, pride, lust. It'll get a hold of you. Amen. Don't allow the green-eyed monster to control your life. There's actually people who have left this church because they felt like someone was jealous because they were around their husband or this or that. Or at least that was the excuse they gave us anyway. Some people, they'll use anything if they want to leave. And the trouble is, if God didn't tell you to leave, then you're out of order with God anyway. So you're in rebellion. So take it for what it's worth. The truth's still the truth. Amen. Because the Bible says God places you where He wants you to be in the body. And He has a reason for putting you there. You know, I was thinking about your situation yesterday. And you're saying, now God put me here, and I don't know why He put me here. He knew all this was going to happen. And He knew you were going to need her. But not just that, Janelle. You are an inspiration because of what you're going through and other people. You're touching other people's lives too. And you'll never know the inspiration you are to Joy and I. You really are. It's like having, we got two moms in here now. It's like we got a third mom in here. Amen. Amen. Church, I'm telling you this morning, don't be jealous of the person you're with. Don't allow that to have part of your relationship. Don't be jealous of other people on the job or in the church that you come in contact with. Jealousy is not going to do you any good. It's not going to help the situation. And if someone's doing something to cause you to be jealous, talk to them. Confront them about it. Sometimes we, especially us men, we're just so hard-headed and just so set in our ways. Sometimes we do things, don't even realize we're doing it until you call our attention to it. So talk to us about it. Maybe we shouldn't be so friendly with this person. Joy is a hugging person. She walks up to you and she'll just hug you. And we've been places before, even at a gun show one time, and that's all nothing but men, you know. And I'll say hi to somebody, she'll go up and give them a big old hug. I said, Joy, not all men understand that you don't mean that in a bad way. It's just a harmless hug. So you have to be careful when you do it and who you do it with. Okay? I didn't say, well, I'm jealous here. You can't be hugging all these men. No, you can't handle it that way. I hope I got through to y'all this morning, church. It's not worth it, and it's not going to do any good. It's going to keep you in bondage, and it's going to put the people around you in bondage, and it'll eventually drive them away from you. Amen? You'll stand, please. Give God praise and glory in the house this morning. Amen?